Well, I am a little taller than her. Just saying. Okay. You are my people. You are my people. The energy here, the just being in recovery is just so where we belong. Where we belong. Thank you to the committee for this honor of sharing my recovery story. My name is Rosemary, and I'm a grateful member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon, which includes Alateen. I grew up with low self-esteem and without God. Through the love and acceptance I have received from Al-Anon, I have grown in my self-esteem, and today my higher power is the love of my life. My dad was an emotionally unavailable guy. He was a faithful and gentle spirit who provided well for his family. Although I didn't know what healthy love looked like, there were moments when I felt my dad's love. Like when I sat on his lap and I felt on top of the world. For me, this was our special time, and I did not want to share my time or my dad with anyone. Then my sister would climb up there. I don't recall feeling jealousy, but I knew that these moments were rare, and I wanted all I could get. I don't know where I learned this, but I got off my dad's lap and went to the bedroom to sulk. I waited there to see how long it would take for them to miss me. They came and got me. Although I got found out with this behavior, this early experience of wanting exclusivity set the stage for unhealthy behaviors for the rest of my life. My mom was an untreated Al-Anon that found comfort in prescription drugs. She wore 10 hats, and she wore them well. Sadly, though, we never connected. And my sister was a bully. From the outside, we looked like a well-rounded, middle-class family. On the inside, it felt confusing and wounded. I never felt safe or that I belonged in my alcoholic home. I learned it was better for me to remain quiet than to share my thoughts and risk being thrown out of my family circle. My experiences taught me that the world and the people in it were not safe. I was a scapegoat of the family. Being the scapegoat taught me unhealthy perspectives. Everything became personal, and blame seemed to always fall on me. There was lots of loss and lots of betrayal. Emotional and spiritual trauma, and I know you all know what that is. Daily, I feared being abandoned, betrayed, and excluded from the family circle. There's nothing nice about being bullied. I had no connection to a power greater than myself, or to myself, or to anyone else. These unhealthy qualities remain in me. Disturbing incidents happened, like the family pets disappearing, and the violation of my personal boundaries by my mother. Shirley contributed to my feelings of mistrust. She held a cigarette to my foot to see how long it would take for me to move. I was told what I saw, what I heard, what I felt was not what I saw, what I heard, what I felt. My parents' unhealthy relationship, marked by affairs and lack of a healthy connection, left me without a clear understanding of what love is. The constant comparison between my sister and me prevented us from developing a loving sibling relationship. I frequently heard, "No one is going to love you like your family." And honestly, I was relieved. Through it all, I learned to mistrust myself and to mistrust God. At a very young age, I realized that God put me in this alcoholic home and left me there to die. This was the first time that I was aware that God had abandoned me. I had no tools, no emotional, mental, or spiritual support. One year, my parents had a Christmas Eve party. They invited some family members and some of their coworkers because they worked for the same company. As usual, there was a lot of drinking. The more my uncle drank, the meaner he got. My sister and I were around 7 and 5 years old, and I was awakened by my mother's screams. My uncle, convinced that she was flirting with one of their coworkers, knocked her down and was dragging her by the ankle around the living room. Needless to say, the party was over and everybody scrambled to leave. My uncle announced that he was going to take his family home and that he would be back to finish the job. Where was my dad? You may wonder. He was in the kitchen, drunk. Our back door was broken, and over time it had become a joke within the family that even when that door was locked, if we blew on it, it would open. My mother had gotten my sister and me up to hurry up and get some things so we could go somewhere to stay overnight. My uncle came back before we were able to leave. He pushed and pulled and banged on that back door, and it would not open. He went away, and we left. Leaving my family of origin, I carried with me a baggage of no boundaries, low self-esteem, and a void where a connection with God should have been. When I reached school age, my parents enrolled my sister and me in Catholic school, where I learned to memorize prayers and honor God as a supreme being. However, I was never encouraged to deepen my relationship with this higher authority. After high school, I distanced myself from the Catholic religion, feeling grateful that I had survived. Later, at the urging of my son's grandmother, I enrolled him in catechism to introduce him to religion and God. It wasn't until I joined Al-Anon that I understood the significance of trusting in a higher power. Through a spiritual awakening, I began to see evidence of miracles. The undeniable presence of my higher power has brought countless miracles into my life. I hated my lonely teen years. All I wanted was to feel comfortable in my own skin. I remember bargaining with God over 3 potential boyfriends. If God would only bring me one of those guys, I would be happy. I would make a life and, of course, make him happy too. It didn't matter which guy, because, you know, it wasn't about the specific person. It was about filling the void within me. One Friday night, my girlfriend and I went out. We both had heard of a couple of parties. We stopped by the one I heard about first. As we walked in the front door, Ron grabbed me by the waist and pulled me into his lap into a recliner. I remember being overwhelmed with the thought that I was with Ron. Oh, and yes, he was one of the guys on my God list. I was living the dream. Ron wanted me. He was like a shiny penny, a good-looking blonde with blue eyes, football player. The girls wanted him, and so did I. Ron and I got married, and 3 months later, I was pregnant. He got laid off regularly, and my morning sickness caused me to quit my job. We had money issues, no insurance, and mother-in-law problems. Not the healthiest of starts. We had been married 5 or so years when I filed for divorce, and I was still grappling with inner loneliness. Despite my uncertainty about being a mom, I liked the idea of having a child. Although I lacked emotional and spiritual stability, the idea that I might not have anything valuable to offer my child never crossed my mind. I provided the basics, shelter, nourishment, clothing, and education, giving what I had received. Fortunately, my son was blessed with grandparents who adored him and showered him with love and affection. It was never something I never experienced. During my son's early years, his dad and I divorced, and my son began his biweekly visits to his dad for the weekend. I always encouraged their relationship. I never wanted his dad or him to blame me for getting in the way of the two of them having a relationship. One evening after dinner, my sister called to see if I was up for company. She had been out for dinner and drinks with her boyfriend and a friend of his. She wanted to introduce me to his friend, you know, someone to go to dinner with, have fun with. They came over, and Jim and I started a relationship. He was 9 years older than me and very worldly. On our first date, I met him for dinner at a Mexican restaurant. Although I didn't drink, I ordered a glass of wine, and I sipped it slowly. I lit a cigarette. I didn't smoke either. But they seemed to go together. You know, it was the height of sophistication. Come on. I got a buzz from one too many drinks. I liked that, no, those sips. I liked it. I ended up getting drunk and passing out. The same trend seemed to be the thread that held us together for the next 3 years. We did a lot of camping, a lot of road trips. There was physical abuse also, not just on his part, but on mine. I filed for divorce for the second time. When I was already married and I had my son, my mother left my dad. She got an apartment. She was gone for about 6 months. I never saw her happier. My dad missed my mother, but instead of calling my mother, he called my sister and told her that he wanted my mother back. My sister called my mother and told her that our dad wanted her back, and if she didn't go back, my sister would go home to take care of him because he needed somebody to take care of him. It was New Year's Eve, 1986. My mother was in the hospital dying from pancreatic cancer. When she was awake, she would cry from the pain. Otherwise, she was on heavy doses of morphine, which kept her in a drug-induced state. On this day, when I walked into the room, my mother was in a rare conversation with my then husband. She turned and looked at me and looked back at him and said, "Look at her, isn't she beautiful inside and out?" I had never heard words like that come out of my mother. And at that time, I didn't know whether to believe it or not. What was this about? When I got to Al-Anon, I learned about choices. Today, I choose to believe my mother was talking to me from her best or soul space. I believe my mother was looking for what I have found in Al-Anon: a higher power, freedom, and independence. Needing to support myself and my son, I went to work for a family business where I met Steve. 3 months on the job, Steve, the boss, asked me out for a drink. Neither of us drank. Our relationship was codependent, providing the stability I craved. We were friends. He was a hypochondriac. The marriage lacked passion. It was a marriage of convenience and luxury. Materially, I could have whatever I wanted. Approximately 8 years into my third marriage, I realized I had married my mother. With two divorces behind me, I decided to stay put, which I did for nearly 3 decades. When my son was 9 years old, I married Steve. For the next 9 years, we did the best we could to settle into living together with all that comes with extended families. I was not a good mom. I had nothing to give. I didn't know what healthy love and discipline looked like. I didn't know about boundaries. When my son was 18, he announced he was moving out. I knew by the look on his face I was not going to talk him out of that. I let him go. He was in and out of my life for long stretches. Sometimes as much as 7 years would pass. I didn't have Al-Anon then, so I got caught up in the doubts, fears, and shame. It was agony. We had agreed to communicate by email, and he would pop in here and there, and after a few shallow words exchanged, he would be gone again. I didn't know where he was or what he was doing. I didn't know if he was happy or taking care of himself. I never knew if the phone would ring with horrifying news that he may be dead. And where was God? Adam and David were my stepsons. Adam and I never had a warm relationship. David and I were always safe and comfortable with each other. When David was 20, he was going through a hard time. And I don't know why this idea came up, but I decided to adopt him as an adult. One of the very best times I had with David was when his dad was in the hospital for an outpatient procedure. I was waiting in a side waiting room. It had a long hallway. I looked up from what I had been reading to see David and Alyssa, his young daughter, walking toward me. A few minutes after our hellos and hugs, David and I started laughing about some silly thing, and we couldn't stop. To this day, I don't believe that many others ever saw him laugh like that. A few months later, we were together for Hanukkah, and having family photos taken was to be part of the celebration. A few weeks prior, I asked David for a photo of him and Alyssa and me. He said, okay. The day came, and we were all dressed in white and black. We had all our photos taken together and separately. To my pleasant surprise, David remembered and asked for a photo of me and him and Alyssa. It was a special moment. In fact, none of us knew then that 2 short months later, David would die at 36 years old. Years later, I went to a therapist. During that visit, the therapist advised me to read a book. I remember thinking, wait a minute, I'm paying you the big bucks to tell me what's wrong with me and to tell me how to fix it. Okay, I read the book. To my surprise, Al-Anon was on every page, and there I was in many of the stories. Next day, I called the Orange County Al-Anon Information Service office, and a member of the paid staff answered the phone and was so warm and welcoming, I knew there and then I would make my way to that office. And I'm not a joiner, but somehow I did. I found myself driving to my first meeting alone that was held at a nearby church. I parked and followed some people into what turned out to be the wrong direction. The old me would have jumped in the car and left, but I didn't. I followed those people down a long hall. I remember hearing laughter and wondering what could possibly be so funny. These people were crazy. Life is serious. What in the world could they think is so funny? I was warmly welcomed, and I sat down. I remember not having a clue what was being said or read until I heard parts that I could relate to. Unwanted, unloved, and alone. I knew then and there I belonged. I was told to keep coming back. It all felt so wonderfully strange. In the beginning, I didn't know what it was to be wanted. Unbeknownst to me, I started my Al-Anon recovery in service. I didn't know that simply answering the phone, or stamping literature, or selling literature was a service. It all seemed so incredibly easy and doable. One day, a member suggested I get a sponsor to help me work the steps. I was told women sponsor women and men sponsor men. I was horrified. I was raised by a domineering woman and a bully. My formative years and well into my 20s, it felt like all I had been surrounded by were domineering women. The whole notion of sharing my deepest fears with another woman did not sit well with me. With time and using my survival tools, I was able to listen and learn. I was at lunch with an Al-Anon member, a woman who I felt comfortable with, safe. And as we chatted, literally out of nowhere, I found myself sharing an old, deeply buried experience I had had with my mother. Her reaction surprised and shocked me. She affirmed that the incident was not my fault. And she encouraged me to find a sponsor to reason things out with. I asked her if she would consider being my sponsor, and surprised again, she said yes. She was my first sponsor, and she remained my sponsor until I moved to Arizona. From the beginning, she told me I would never get the program, because I was sitting there reading literature, and I said, I'm never going to get this. And I just slammed my fist on the desk, and I'll never forget her turning around and saying, you're right, you're not. And I thought, well, then why am I here? What she says, what you will get is the opportunity to practice it. As I worked through the steps, I became aware that I had been looking for others to fill the void left by my mother and my sister. I volunteered at the local Al-Anon Information Service office for 8 hours a week for 18 years. I spent as much time at that office as I could. I watched the program being worked from the inside out. I grew up in Al-Anon with some of the West Coast pioneers. I volunteered for every position and then was elected GR. A friend and I started a four-step study group in San Juan Capistrano. A dear friend suggested I take a creative writing class because, Rose, you write so good. Well, being the people pleaser that I am, and I practice being, I enrolled in a creative writing class at a local junior college. There were students in the class that had written articles and were paid for them, Reader's Digest, Woman's Day. At the end of the semester, we were asked to write a story that would be 75% of our grade. I wrote about my dad. As a young man, he won the 1931 Junior Olympics. Every event he entered, he won. Honestly, my story was a mess, run on sentences and poorly punctuated. It was awful. I knew it wasn't good, but I turned it in. On the last day of school, the teacher was in the front of the classroom with three papers in his hand. He read the first two, and I knew mine was off the charts awful, so I wasn't too worried, and then he said my name. I wanted to melt into the floor. To this day, I am grateful that he didn't read it. But what he said was, I'm giving Rosemary an A in the class for her perseverance. A spiritual principle, I believe. Although she didn't know what she had gotten into, she stayed. Because of his generous A, I was motivated to take every English class offered until I found myself back in a creative writing class. Fast forward, I've been published in the forum a number of times. A fellow trusted servant I met in an online Al-Anon group asked me if I would consider being the guest Al-Anon speaker at her area's AA convention. It was my first time. I don't remember much about what I shared, but I distinctly remember a tall, thin gentleman sitting at a front table. He was wearing dress pants and a white shirt. I never saw his face. I only felt his presence. At times throughout my share, he would nod his head in agreement. When I was finished, I remember him standing up and applauding and thinking, I've got to thank him for that support. It was the most important thing that had happened. And I went to my table because the next speaker was announced, with the idea that I would get up after that speaker and thank the gentleman in the front row. I kept seeing the man in the front row, but never saw his face. It was always the back of his head, whatever. Okay. And then the speaker was finished, and I went to say thank you to this gentleman, and a woman came up that enjoyed what I had to say about my ESA experience, strength, and hope about my son. I looked for the gentleman in the front row, but he was gone. I never saw him again. This was a moment of grace. Along the way, I heard doing service in Al-Anon would supercharge my recovery. Those of you in service know that's very true. However, I didn't really understand what that could mean until I experienced it for myself. Having a sponsor and being a sponsor, as well as having a service sponsor and being a service sponsor, have been an important part of my spiritual recovery. I have heard from my sponsees is that my service with them has been an important part of their recovery. I got to the point that I knew I needed to move on, and after much deliberation and prayer, I left my 34-year marriage and the only state I had known for 65 years. Moving to Arizona marked the beginning of a new chapter. It was a daunting but necessary step towards rediscovering myself and finding true happiness, freeing myself from the patterns of the past. I didn't know anyone. And you know, I'm off the paper now. It never occurred to me about that being courage or bravery. It was just something I did. I never patted myself on the back. It was always just doing the next thing that needed. I didn't know where it was going to go. But I look at it now and I think, my goodness, who, you did that. Okay, so after a year of going to different meetings, I walked into a meeting. and out of character for me, I walked across the room through the front door, not the back door. Let me hide. Yes, I want to be invisible, but I want you to hear me and see me. But I don't want to have to do any more than that. And I walked across the room, and there was a section there. This white-haired woman, was sitting there, and I sat down next to her, which blows my mind to this day. We started a conversation without ever looking at each other in the eyes. She told me about a great meeting in Tempe at 9:30 Thursday mornings. It was perfect, so I made a point to go to that meeting, fully expecting to see her there. I looked for her. She was not there. I never saw her again. Another moment of grace. I was elected group representative for the group, and I started attending district meetings and Al-Anon information service meetings. After a nudge from the current district representative, I volunteered to be an alternate district representative. Along the way, I also served as AA liaison to the area. Best service position ever. It was fabulous. The welcome, it was just amazing. It's something I will never forget. Then this amazing thing happened to me. At first, I didn't know what it was. I knew it was something I had never experienced before. It felt so good, so right. It was my first spiritual awakening. This was more than an aha moment. It was a summer night. I was in the street to take a picture of a desert harvest moon. And if you've never seen one, you gotta see one. As I lowered my phone and looked at the moon, I heard and felt my higher power telling me, "I'm promising you the moon." He has kept his promise every single day since. Another moment of grace. Al-Anon has been and continues to be a safe place for me to discover my God and my truth. With the help of Al-Anon tools, I am learning to step up and take responsibility for my own life. Today, I'm not afraid of walking through my fears because I know there is peace and contentment on the other side. In reflection, all those times I doubted God and his love for me, I can now look back and see them as moments of grace. It was through Al-Anon that I found solace and strength to detach from my son's tumultuous journey. Surrendering him to a higher power, I recognized the need for divine guidance in my own life. With each passing year, I learned to let go, trusting in a power greater than myself to guide our paths. 3 years ago, on my son's birthday, I reached out to him, seeking forgiveness for my shortcomings as a mother. To my surprise, he responded with a willingness to reconnect. Since then, our relationship has blossomed, nurtured by faith and the principles of Al-Anon. We no longer dwell on the past or assign blame. Instead, we embrace the present, anchored by a shared spiritual connection. Today, thanks to the support of Al-Anon and grace of God, I have reclaimed my role as a mother and a grandmother. Our bond is stronger than ever, rooted in love, understanding, and mutual respect. It is a testament to the transformative power of forgiveness and the healing journey of recovery. In this moment of grace, I find solace knowing that despite the challenges we faced, love has prevailed. February 2020, 78 trusted servants received an email asking who would want to step up to be a CMA of an electronic group. I answered that email in record time, and I became the CMA for Appreciating Miracles. The name alone grabs you, doesn't it? Although I had never put together an agenda, nor really facilitated a business meeting, I jumped in. I learn as I go, and I learn best through my mistakes. After a year or so, electronic meetings were growing and evolving. It became time to stand for group representative for Appreciating Miracles, or stay in Arizona and stand for district representative. Waiting on my higher power, I was as surprised as anyone when I was elected to GR. Not sure what was going to happen, I met with the then area chair, Arizona area chair. I told her I would love to stand for area chair, but I didn't know where my higher power wanted me next. The global electronic area was going to have elections for the first panel. My new service sponsor encouraged me to put my name in the hat for every position. Well, that was a no for me. I can budget my own finances. I didn't want to budget everybody else's. However, okay, and then secretary, that was always a good one too. I don't even take notes, let alone minutes. So that was a no. All right. Leaning on my higher power, I volunteered to be area chair. I was the only one who volunteered for the position. I was elected area chair. My higher power spoke loudly, a moment of grace. Over the course of few weeks, four complete strangers were elected to panel positions. It was exhilarating and frightening all at once. It took time for the officers to get comfortable with each other and in our new positions. The first thing I ran into was a bully. It took me a bit to figure out what was happening. It felt vaguely familiar. I realized I needed to set boundaries as soon as possible. I did. It worked. Weeks and months flew by, and in barely a year, our new area was completely self-supporting. I have always thought of myself as a follower. So for quite a while, I couldn't see what leadership qualities I could possibly have. As a result, I questioned God a lot. About a year and a half into my 3-year commitment, I began to see that I can delegate responsibility effectively. I'm a good listener. I'm a strategist. I can see qualities in others that could be useful in any position or area. I can bring trusted servants together to form thought forces, task forces, and work groups. I can implement Al-Anon's principles, plans, policies, and procedures. I can help trusted servants stay in their own lane. Most importantly, I am focused on who's in charge. My higher power's in charge. That's always a moment of grace. Al-Anon is where I learned I have choices. Daily, I can choose fear or love. I do not have a favorite daily reading, but my go-to is One Day at a Time, June 25th, page 177. It says, it is in step 11 that I find the actively spiritual prescription for the practice of the Al-Anon program. Sought through prayer and meditation, to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. If we are living by the Al-Anon Council first things first, prayer and meditation come before all else, since it is in this way that we receive guidance for our decisions. Today's reminder, am I too busy to pray? Have I no time for meditation? Then let me ask myself whether I've been able to solve my problems without help. As I face them day by day, I want to acknowledge my need for his guidance. I will not let this day pass, nor any day from now on, without making myself consciously aware of God. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. That's Psalms. Attending our international convention in Albuquerque was a profound spiritual experience for me. There were so many takeaways. I felt my higher power's presence, and I heard his voice in the appreciation and love given to me by current and past area chairs, WSO staff, and trustees. Service has become my lifeline. It has given me a newfound strength and purpose. Taking on responsibility roles within Al-Anon has become not just an obligation, but acts of selfless devotion to a purpose greater than myself. In the quiet moments of reflection, I began to glimpse the hand of a higher power guiding me along this path of transformation. From the unexpected encounters with strangers who offered words of encouragement, to the profound moments of insight and inspiration that lit my journey, I recognized the presence of divine grace waving through my life. Through prayer and meditation, I refined a deeper connection with my higher power, finding solace and guidance in moments of doubt and uncertainty. And as I journey towards a deeper understanding of myself and my place in the world, I have come to realize that true peace and contentment lie not in the absence of struggle, but in the embrace of life's challenges as opportunities for growth and transformation. Today, as I look back on the winding road that brought me to this moment, I am filled with gratitude for the gift of Al-Anon and the profound impact it has had on my life. Every moment of grace, every step along this journey, has brought me closer to the truth of who I am and the boundless love that surrounds me. As I continue to walk this path one day at a time, I do so with faith and courage, knowing that my higher power walks beside me, guiding me towards a future filled with hope and possibility. I could never have imagined that this journey in finding my God and myself would begin with answering the phone, selling literature, and keeping meeting lists updated. When I came into the rooms of Al-Anon, I had a poor perception of God. Then I believed God had abandoned me and my family of origin. I was angry at God for giving me things and then taking them away. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, it has changed my reality. These moments of grace that I have mentioned represent to me the presence of my higher power. I have more yesterdays than I have tomorrows, so I choose to practice my program one day at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.